I speak in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Merry Christmas. I'm so glad that you are all here with us tonight to celebrate Christ's birth. I actually began preparing for the sermon several months ago, and the way that I prepare for sermons on Christmas Eve is the same way that I prepare for them every week, which is to sit down and read the text. And so I read the text, and I reread the text, and I reread and reread and read it over and over and over again until I come up with something brilliant to say. At least I try to be brilliant. So as I'm reading this text over and over and over again, it hits me. This is the exact same text that we heard last year and the year before that and the year before that. In fact, this is the exact same Christmas Eve text that you hear every single year. It never changes. It will be the same next year and in 10 years from now and in 20 years from now. You will always hear Luke's version of the Christmas story every Christmas Eve. So then what new things am I supposed to say? Because as I'm reading this text, it hits me how well I know this reading. I can pretty much say a good chunk of it from memory. I have heard it every Christmas Eve for the past 33 years. I have preached on it for the past 7 years. I know this story. And here's the thing, so do you. You know this story. If I stopped and asked any one of you, tell me the story of Jesus' birth. You might not get every little detail right. You might not know Quirinius's name. You might not know who the governor is. You might not know every little minute detail. But my guess is pretty much all of you will get the major plot points right. There's a baby born in a stable. There's no room in the inn. And the angel said it was Jesus, and that's God's son. You know the basics of this story. So as I was preparing for the sermon, a question entered my head. Why then do we come to church every Christmas Eve to hear the exact same readings every single year? Why do we come? What brings us out in -1 degree wind chill past dark? Why do we come here tonight? And some of you maybe are shrinking down in the pews because the truthful answer is I came because someone dragged me here. I came because it was important to my mom or my dad or my spouse or people that I am trying to impress. And I came because it was expected of me to be here, and I frankly don't want to be here. And if that is you, welcome. We're super glad you're here. As someone who has sat through my fair share of Christmas Eves because my mother dragged me there, you are in really good company. But maybe for some of you, you came for something else. I love music. I'm not great at music, it's not my skill set, but I really appreciate other people's skill sets of music. And I listen to Christmas songs nearly year round because even though I know them by heart, much like the story of Jesus' birth, there is something about them that is gentle and comforting. There's a message in them that I want to hear year around. And my very favorite Christmas hymn, which Marta doesn't know this, my very favorite Christmas hymn is O Holy Night, which for the record was the prelude. That was a God moment, I had no idea. So O Holy Night is my very favorite Christmas hymn. And 2 years ago, the reason it was my favorite Christmas hymn was because we were in 2020, and there's a line in that hymn that says, "A weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn." In December of 2020, I felt pretty weary. And I'm gonna be honest with you guys, December of 2021, and frankly, this December, I feel weary too. I still feel very weary. And there is something comforting about a weary world getting to rejoice, that they can rejoice in their weariness. But this year, as I was listening to that Christmas hymn before Thanksgiving, I was listening to the line that comes directly before a weary world rejoicing. How does a weary world rejoice? How does that happen? How does weariness take the shape of rejoicing? And the line that comes directly before that is the world was in error and sin pining. And then he, being Jesus, appeared, and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices. The soul felt its worth. While it was in sin and pining, the soul felt its worth. Because the real point of the Christmas story is not all of the really fancy names or the towns or the things that happen that we all know about the story. The really big, important piece of the Christmas story is what happened. Jesus was born. God was born, and our soul felt its worth. God was not born for us in our perfection, not born for us for what our lives look like on social media. God was born for us in our sin, in our error, and in all the ways that we don't measure up. God was born for us because we are worth it. So my hope for you this Christmas season, which technically the 12 days of Christmas is the time between Christmas Day and Epiphany, January 6th, so don't worry, you haven't missed it yet. My hope for you this Christmas season, and then the season of Epiphany, which is the season in the church year where we remember that God is with us. And then we have our Lenten wilderness, we have our Easter celebration, we have our time after Pentecost, which in the church we just call ordinary time because it's kind of long and it drags on and it's ordinary. And my hope for you in all of those times, all the way back up to Advent, where we prepare again for Christmas, to hear, for the record, this exact same story. My hope for you this coming year is that your soul feels its worth, because God came to be born for you, and you are worth that gift. Because the very first declaration of Christmas came from the angels to the shepherds. And the angel said, "Fear not, for I bring you great news of joy for all people. For unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior, who is the Messiah." Amen.